My presentation is on Paper, which is Tinder for preprints. Nick gave a great introduction because a lot of the things that he built, we've been able to incorporate into this app. So this is a joint effort between myself, Nick, and Jeff Leek, who's a professor at Hopkins, and it was done through their data science lab, which is a relatively new group that was started up over there, where they've been doing a lot of really cool, shiny development, among other things, like puppets. So what is Tinder? So who here is familiar with Tinder? Oh, good. Almost everyone, although there are some people that aren't. Okay, so Tinder is essentially a dating app. It's quite popular in the States. I'm not sure if it's elsewhere. But what you do is you log into this app, and you see photos of people who are within a certain distance from you. And you can swipe right if you're interested in them based on their photo. So make a quick snap judgment and swipe right. Or you can swipe left if you're not interested. And if two people both swipe right on, you know, mutual photographs, and they'll be matched and you can meet. So that's what Tinder is. Paper does something kind of similar. Essentially, we allow you to swipe on preprint. So a preprint is essentially before you send a paper to a journal for publication, you can send it to a preprint. Basically, just the author's copy can be uploaded to one of these archives. In our case, we use BioArchive. And it's a nice way to kind of prevent the paywall situation with journals to allow people to access articles. So Paper accesses these archived articles and allows you to look at just the abstract and the title. And if you think it's something that's interesting, you can swipe right. If you think it's something that's not interesting, you can swipe left. And we allow for a little bit of ambiguity there. We let you swipe up if you think it's interesting but might not quite be right, and swipe down if you think it's boring but probably correct. So we've implemented this. We've incorporated things like a recommender engine that will kind of give you papers that seem to be similar to the papers that you've previously ranked. And then we've also implemented a bit of a social network where you can see other people on Twitter who have used our app and input their Twitter credentials and then can have liked similar papers to you. So the history, this is a history via tweets of how this all started. Last October, Jeff Leek put out a tweet saying, "I built a Tinder for academic preprints." And so I obviously was very interested in what this was. So I immediately went to look at it. And it didn't allow you to swipe, which in my opinion is the best part about Tinder, is being able to make those snap judgments with a quick swipe. And so I tweeted at him, "Hey, I think we need to implement some swipe capabilities." To which he responded, "Hey, Joe Chang, can you go ahead and add swipe functionality to Shiny?" And I chimed in as well and said, "Joe, I'd really appreciate it if you'd make this a top priority." It turned out Joe did not respond in the 30 minutes I gave him to make it a top priority. So I looped in my friend Nick, who just gave a great presentation on ShinySense, who's a bit of a JavaScript wizard, and said, "Hey, Nick, how about you help me do this?" And so Nick readily agreed. We had a cube meeting at 3, and by 5:30, we had submitted a pull request to Jeff's initial package, and we were able to implement swiping. So since then, this started in October. We've been working on this app for the past 8 months. And then just about 3 weeks ago, we did our first big release of it, which went relatively well. So in the past 3 weeks, we've had over 13,000 sessions. People log on. We've had 1,800 unique logons. And so we allow you to log in with Google if you're interested in being able to log in more than once. And then we've had over 450 provide Twitter credentials to be able to utilize the social network aspect of it. So those numbers are relatively large for just 3 weeks, but I think a lot of it has to do with what I like to refer to as the Jeff Leek effect. He has a relatively big network of people. Obviously, if it was just my app, it certainly would not have gotten that kind of notoriety. But we had a couple places pick it up in that first week, so both Nature and Science did articles on it, which I think has increased the visibility, which has been really neat because now we've been able to show a Shiny app to a lot of people who aren't necessarily familiar with Shiny or don't know that Shiny can do such amazing things. Like, you can build these apps actually in R without, you know, having to enter into any other coding language, which I think is very, very cool, especially now with ShinySense, which makes you not even have to know any JavaScript to be able to implement an app like this. So when I was preparing this talk, I was thinking about some things that make this app a little bit unique compared to other Shiny apps that I've developed in the past. And I came up with five things, and so I've chosen to specify, you know, I'll talk about those five things, but at the end, I have a link to the GitHub repository, so if there are other things that you think are more interesting, you're welcome to kind of piece through our code and pull out any pieces that you would like to use in one of your apps. So one of the main unique aspects is that we save data from multiple logins. So there's a lot of ways to do this in Shiny, but we actually just use Google to be able to do that, so people can log in via Google, and that will give us a unique ID that we can use to then match that person if they log in later and want to, you know, look at the same papers or want to make sure they don't see the same papers again. And then there's a couple API-specific things that come into doing things like that. So, for example, if you want to run the app locally, but you have these APIs that are, you know, like a Google client API that's talking to it, you have to kind of specify what port you're going to be running locally. So that was something I hadn't experienced previously with Shiny. And similarly, saving API credentials and things like this. So a lot of our packages that allow you to talk to APIs are really quite nice. And they essentially, if you call a function that needs you to sign in to any kind of credentialing, it'll basically open a browser and just let you sign in interactively. But of course, that doesn't work when it's a Shiny app. And so you have to save your credentials along the way. So I'll briefly show you how to do that. And then incorporating tactile input, so using the great Shiny sense that Nick just spoke about. I'll show you a little bit how to do that kind of thing. And then finally, creating a recommender engine. So this is something that I am certainly not an expert in, and we did not do it necessarily in the most glamorous way. So it's a pretty janky recommender engine, but it has a lot of potential and probably will be the first thing we're updating in the next iteration. So I'll show you what we've done, and then maybe I can hear some suggestions if people have better ways that we could do it. So here's the link to the app, jhubiostatistics.shinyapps.io/paper. Feel free to go to it now. If you think my talk is boring, you can swipe through some papers along the way, and you can kind of see how it all works. But I'll step through and kind of show some images of it in the meantime. So if you log on, this is the first page that you'll see. It's essentially where you can set your profile. We allow you to log in with Google. You can give us your name and your Twitter handle if you're interested in the social media aspect. And so to achieve this, this top part here is pretty basic, so most people probably are well aware of this, but we achieve this using the tab panel function in Shiny, which lets you have multiple tabs. And then this login button, we achieve this using the Google Auth R function, or package rather, which is awesome for being able to have a user log in to their normal Google account, and then we have this unique ID that allows for multiple logins. And so speaking of that, in order to be able to use something like this, you have to set up a web application through Google. And so that's quite simple to do. It's, you know, free and very easy. You just, you know, go to the site to set up the web application, and you put in the information, and you'll get some credentials that you can send to Shiny. And so one of the pieces of this that's particularly important that is something that I hadn't worked with before is in order to be able to develop this locally, I wanted to have a port. So this part that's highlighted, you can't quite read the text, but above and below are the links to the actual Shiny app itself. So that's like where the app would live, so Google knows where your web app is. But then you also need to tell it if you want to be able to run something locally, what port you'll be running it from, so that you can use the full functionality without having to push it to the web every time. So this is quite easy to do with Shiny. When you use your normal run app, you can just set the port using the port equals function, which is quite nice. And then here we're just, for the name and Twitter handle, it's very simple. We just use the text input function for those. So then the next tab is rate, which lets you actually rate the papers themselves. So Nick mentioned this, we've got this pop-up here, this data policy, which essentially says that we're collecting your data. So if you don't want us to do that, close this app. If you do, go ahead and click the button that says, I understand, let's get swiping. So that's achieved using the Shiny Sense package, using the Shiny pop-up function. And so here's a little bit of code just to show you very simply how you can do something like that. So you would set the terms in a normal div like you would otherwise. So here I just have very simple, here are some terms for you to ignore. And then in the UI, you would use Shiny pop-up UI. You set the name of this object that you'd like. You set the button text. And then you tell it the name of the pop-up div that we had just created right here. And then finally, this test is basically just the background. That's going to be the background of what your pop-up is on top of. And then on the server side, you use the call module and then the Shiny pop-up function from Nick's Shiny Sense package. It's called terms because that's what we have called it in the UI. And then we've set accepted equals to false to allow the user to determine whether or not they'd like to accept our terms. So the next thing, just, you know, to be able to achieve this layout, we use the sidebar layout. I thought I would kind of intersperse this with a couple little Shiny tips in case people are new to Shiny, but that's how we're able to get that sidebar along with the main tab in the middle. So the text itself, we pull using Full Text, which is a package that ROpenSci has put out, which is awesome. We just actually switched to using this like a week or two before our final release. They have a great function, BioArchive Search, that lets you pull in like abstracts and titles from BioArchive. And the thing that's great about that is that we can actually extend it very easily to Archive or other open source or open access journals. So we've had a couple requests to extend this to Archive, and that'll be very easy to do in our next release. So we also allow the user to download their ratings using, we use the RDrop2 to interact with Dropbox. And in fact, not only just for downloading, but for essentially our whole backend right now is Dropbox, which we're outgrowing a little bit. So that's probably going to change relatively soon. Dropbox doesn't like it when you have more than 10,000 files, and we currently have far over that because every session saves a new file, so we've got about 15,000 files currently on Dropbox. But in any case, for now, we are using Dropbox. And in order to do that, we need to save our credentials, our login credentials with Dropbox, rather than being able to interactively log in. So this is quite easy to do in R. You just save the token. In the case of RDrop2, you create a token using drop_auth, and then you can just save that an RDS file. So you want to make sure that you stick this RDS file in whatever folder that you're sending off to Shiny, but if you're putting this on GitHub, make sure to stick it in your gitignore. You don't want people to be able to access your credentials at any time. But yes, I've got my nice emoji. So then for the swiping, this is a Shiny swiper, which is the function that Nick was also talking about earlier. This is quite simple to implement. Essentially, you just load the Shiny Sense package. You use the Shiny Swiper UI function on the UI side. You can call it whatever you like, and you can stick anything in there. So that H4 HRP, those are just kind of sticking in some generic text into that card that's going to be swiped. And then on the server side, we use the call module again, and then the Shiny Swiper function to be able to implement the swiper. And then we can do things like observe the event. And so when it's swiped, whatever you've put in that observe event will happen. So in our case, in paper, when you swipe, we save your rating, whatever it may be. In the case of this simple example, I'm just printing in the console the last swipe result. So then the next tab is what do I like? So this is where we port the recommender engine that we've created. And one thing I think it's kind of cool about this, at least for me, I really like to be able to see, you know, when there's a recommender engine, I'm kind of curious about how it's working and also where I sit in the space of whatever it's recommending to me. And so we provide that information to the user. We give you kind of a quick rundown on how we've done our recommender engine, which we built fully with TidyText and the IRLBA packages. And so essentially our recommender engine is just, we have a really big term matrix for all of the words included in the abstracts and titles, and then we do a principal component analysis and we reduce it down, and essentially each article has principal components, and then you kind of have your own set of principal components. All users start in the middle of this, and then as they like or dislike, they kind of move around. And so every time you visit this this tab, you can see where you place within the cloud of articles, and you can see what articles are around the ones that you like. So this is developed using Plotly, which is kind of neat because it allows you to hover and to see, you know, things like the titles and things like this of these different articles. And so here's a quick example of what that looks like. So to the user, this is a three-dimensional example, but essentially you're here in the middle, and you can see, okay, this is your title, and then you can hover over any of these little blue dots and see the titles of the other articles and where they place. So finally, who's most like me? So this is the piece that I think is actually one of the more interesting pieces of this particular function. We allow you to see other Twitter users who like things that are similar to you. So this can kind of grow our network, which I think is particularly neat to be able to, you know, follow other people that are maybe interested in the same type of science that you are that maybe you wouldn't have come across otherwise. So we give you a ranking of the top five people. We use the recommender engine essentially a similar, using the same principal components. We see who is the closest in that principal component space to you, and we report those top five, and you can click on these little buttons and go ahead and follow them quite easily. So that's what I have. We've got the link if you're interested in trying it out. I've got the GitHub link there. If you'd like to check out the code or if you find a bug, please report an issue. We really are excited about this, and so we want people to try it and to break it and everything. I've got my slides on RPubs, and if you have any further questions, I'm also on Twitter and happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy. Do you have any question? Okay, there, a microphone there. Do you have a microphone? Maybe, I don't know if. Okay.
Was I considering, I'm sorry, can you say? Oh, Dropbox. Yes, so this is something that's a little bit outside of my wheelhouse, which is why it has not yet been replaced. But we've been discussing trying to just put it up on, like, maybe have a small server that could host a database that we would essentially just populate this large database. But the reason it hasn't been implemented yet is I am not familiar with how to do that from R, although I know it's very possible. So if you have suggestions. Google Fire? Fireplace. Okay, yeah. Great, that's a great suggestion. Thank you.
Do you have another question?
Yes, so we are planning, we're hoping to move this outside of, I'm sorry, yes, repeat the question. The question was, what are our plans for the future? Are we planning on using other types, like besides just bioarchive? Was that the question? Yes, so we are hoping to, in the near future, definitely extend it to archive. And the things that we've sort of been toying with and why it hasn't been implemented quite yet is trying to decide, do we want to have a single app where we have a lot of these different kind of domains represented, or do we want to have multiple apps, or maybe like a landing page where you could pick which domain you're interested in? Because I think the folks interested in bioarchive, like archive is a much wider space, and so it might take a little longer to get to articles that you're interested in, and so it's definitely on our radar, but we were sort of trying to work out the logistics of, for the user, what's the best user experience we can create doing that. Yeah.
Thank you again. We have time for one more question. Yes.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a really good idea. We hadn't talked about doing that, but that's a really good idea. The question was if we had any plans to make an interactive tutorial so that you could, when you log on, if it's your first time, you can maybe click something to see, like, this is how you swipe and things like that. And that's a really good idea. We currently just have a help page, which I didn't actually highlight because it's not super interesting, but it basically just says you can swipe left or swipe right, and it describes kind of a little our terms in a little more details. But it would be cool to have an interactive. That's a really good idea, Anne. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Anne.
Yeah, thank you.